Hello, and welcome to The Catch, Redcar's fishing story past and present. I'm Carmen Marcus, author, poet, fisherman's daughter, and Redcar lass. In this podcast, you'll hear from the Redcar fishermen just how important the bait houses were to the fishing community. They were where everyone came to make nets, share stories, and most importantly, learn every skill needed from baiting the lines to knowing the landmarks to bring you home.
When they're talking, because we get together, you know, all fellas do, and they talk back on the bait house, Thompson's bait house, and the tricks that got on. Your dad was the most marvellous knotter. He could make a piece of string do anything you wanted. You know, he was marvellous. You know, he said, you'd make us a sheep, you know. He could, I'm not kidding, he was marvellous. At the end, when we were tidying the bait house up, before we were finished, and things, they'd get a bit of string out, Jimmy, you know, and go on and make it. So I remember he made a barrel. You know, how would you start to knit, to make a knot that looked like a barrel? But he did, you know, with staves and everything, you know, absolutely marvellous.
I don't think we'll ever see them times again. No. The bait house was out the back, that was the laughs, the chatter that went on in them was... That's how I think as a lad, if you wanted to go fishing, where you learn stuff from the old time, as it
were. We had quite a few happy days in them days, like. I used to go to school quite a lot, and I used to end up in Thompson's bait house. I was in there one day, Marky said, "Hey, school Bob is coming along with Back Alley on his bike, get in the back of the bait house." He said, "I'll come and get you when he's gone."
I can remember stood next to your dad
looking forward to it
when we used it, when there would be a massive tray of mussels, and he would say, "Try that one, son," because I would only be 12, 13 year old. "Try that one, a little tiny mussel, scale again." Let me say, "Yeah, right off." And then he said, "Go on, you can try a bit bigger one." And that's how he taught us how to do it.
I was telling you about the long
lines. Were that big that you could. I was too small to get the fakes up.
Yeah, this is what I was telling you.
And they wouldn't stop me. They went and got a beer crate. And I stood on a beer crate and carried on. Because the lines were that deep, you know, they had that many hooks on the lines.
The whole of the back of Fisherman Square, three quarters of the bait houses, each cottage had a bait house, three quarters of those would be fishing, actually working as things, because people who moved into things that weren't interested in used to rent these to fishermen who hadn't got a bait house. But the atmosphere, when you think of the smelly mussels going on, you know, and you start pokers in the fire all the time to burn holes for putting in lobster pots, because you had to make the lobster pots out of briar wood, you know, thorn wood, out of edgebacks and hazels. It was another world.
Everything's different now.
It was marvellous then.